right, good afternoon. I've been here since Monday. We had PBS meetings here, getting a little fried, but I'm on the down and slope now, so it's exciting. So anyway, I'm going to get a little more tactical, talking about some cybersecurity incidences that we've had at our shop. I guess I got to hit the clicker. Okay, just for some overview, WNET in New York, we broadcast three stations, New York, New Jersey, and Long Island. We have about 375 full-time staff, 180 edit stations for our traditional broadcast and digital products. We use a lot of outsourced and in-source software to do what we do, and obviously we're a nonprofit. We collect a lot of information about our members, our viewers, our staff, and even our board members. So we have to be very conscious of everything. You know, we've been dealing with PCI for a while, but lately things have changed. In the old world of broadcast, the definition of hacking was that somebody would hit your satellite transponder with a feed, or a sleepy engineer late at night maybe watching something and then accidentally hit a button and all of a sudden Stormy Daniels is on your air. That's not the case anymore. So our hack, I was out here at NAB last year. The Alliance was having its sessions on the floor. I attended a few of them. So what happened with us is that there was an email that was sent from our CEO, and our CEO had like my name and everybody else's email was on our website and stuff. So somebody sent something out, one of our users hit something, and all of a sudden they had access to a large portion of our staff. So the next email that came out was from me, and more users started clicking the website, and then all of a sudden we started noticing some funny things. So the user one all of a sudden caught that his human capital management account was hit, and they changed his direct deposit information. So all of a sudden his payroll was going to somewhere in Eastern Europe. And to top it off, they created a rule in Outlook that actually deleted notification from the HCM saying, you just changed your direct deposit information. So another user in the finance group had a spreadsheet on their computer with employee private data. So that became another issue. To our knowledge, none of this information got out. The user one changed his information back in time, and user two, while we did provide credit reporting for everyone, we have no real knowledge that anybody got into that information. Although, if you go in and check your emails, you can always see that, you know, that your password and your information have been compromised, but you never know where it came from. So that was a wake-up call for us. So then we decided to embark on a cyber audit program. I've been asked to do the 10 tips in the program. So I'm gonna rattle through a lot of these tips. And you know, just some advice and some lessons learned from what we went through. So if you were attacked, the first thing you have to do is deal with that attack immediately. You know, it's great if you have a good staff and everything like that, but absolutely don't rely 100% on them. You need expert help. You need people who do this for a living full time. And once you do remedy that attack one way or another, and everybody says don't pay the ransom, which we've gotten hit with ransomware and stuff, but we had the old style backup programs where we go back to our old LTOs and picked up all of the old data and then just re-image the computers. So we've been always, so far, very lucky on that. So then you take the lesson learned, and also if you haven't been hacked and you think you're safe, get a good understanding of what you have before you start going into the audit. So number two, develop an RFP, and you need total company buy-in, okay? And my CEO has been very supportive of it, and that actually helped us because we have a lot of work to do. We need all of a sudden overnight a six-figure budget to do it, and we need staff buy-in. So when it comes from the CEO and he puts me up on the platform, we have these all stations meetings quarterly, and I always always tell stories about some of the hacks and some of the phishing emails that we have. Most of the time, it's our CEO's name that's on there, you know, can you send me your payroll, can you send me your timesheet, can you send me money to go on vacation? So it's a wild mess, but employees are slowly starting to understand. So you form a working group and use people from all different facets of the company, usually the leaders of the finance, legal, HR, IT, production, and then identify your needs, you know, where your strengths, do you have written documentation or any policy, do you have a business continuity plan? What's the workflow, like use the private data, where is it stored, is it stored? Staff training, I'll get to that later, and then obviously part of it is to do a whole bunch of pen testing. Then you want to go in and identify qualified vendors, you know, get recommendations from your industry, recommendations from your cyber insurance vendor. Do you know if your companies have cyber insurance policies? Very, very important. And obviously you want your vendor to be certified. And don't underestimate the time that's needed. This is a long-term plan. And this is something, this is a journey that never ends. So once you start it, you know, you'll have to be going back and forth and refreshing and reviewing everything. Training, and then it's over that follow through. So engage a cybersecurity partner. We actually engaged Kroll, which is one of the renowned companies. There's many companies there. What we also did is we executed an NDA, and we pipeline everything through our outside counsel, so then it becomes attorney-client privilege information. Good thing to have just in case there's a problem. This way, everything isn't necessarily exposed to people that you may or may not want it exposed to. And then it's about follow-through. You signed a project manager who really follows through on all of the departmental interviews. He helped out with the training, and then we have to start addressing the workflow, so he's been involved with that. Then it's all the technical adjustments to your firewall, your rules, what kind of holes you have in the firewalls, and then also to keep the project on time. Now, just a little discussion about training. We trained, obviously, all of the staff. We got tremendous accolades because not only did they feel it was important for their work life, but what they learned was very important to their personal life as well. You know, social engineering was a big part of the discussions, and also discussions on how other big companies have been hit. I mean, you know, we had issues we were involved with the Sony hack, and some of our product was released in that Sony hack about who was getting paid and things like that. And we also encouraged our staff to consider personal credit reporting tools. Many of us get it for free anyway, so, you know, because of hacks at Home Depot or other things. And then we now make it a regular part of our onboarding. We recorded all of the sessions and the PowerPoint, and we work it into the onboarding for all of our staff. So then when we start with the implementation, the lowest hanging fruit is multi-factor authentication. So all of our systems now, if you are out of the office, you get a text that says you just logged on to your to Workday. You know, do you want to go ahead? So it's a two-factor plan. You know, some of us have the old RSAs with the numbers in it and things like that. This is the new way to do things. This alone eliminates a lot of the issues as far as passwords and everything. Although, you know, one of the other things is complicating your password and such. But multi-factor authentication was very, very important. Then it starts getting a little deeper, a little harder. So we call it pulling the band-aid off. So we have to start identifying secure tools, alternatives, because those off-the-shelf enterprise-based tools, the file and video transport, the D word, document sharing, the G word, and collaborative software rhymes with hack, starts with an S. Those are all problematic, and you know, they tend not to be managed well by your internal staffs, and they tend to get out of control. We're also creating DMZs, because all of our producers, everybody needs to get content in quickly and get it out quickly. But we have to provide work rules to say you can bring content in, but it has to go through a DMZ. You can't just load it onto the Avid or the Premiere or whatever. And then obviously, it's how do you, as a nonprofit, it's how do we deal with all of this formal documentation that we get, the private data, especially as it relates to PCI and dealing with individual social security, and obviously as a company dealing with health information. So we try not to keep any personal data. If anything, all we do is keep what's called the GUID, last four digits of the social security number, or the last four digits of the credit card. So, and then from the IT perspective, it's very, very important to keep things patched. And, you know, but, you know, as you're working with all this enterprise software, often we have issues that, you know, the systems may not be compatible, whether it's the lead or asset management or whatever. So we have to have a robust testing platform to make sure that that the patches won't cause any further damage and won't prevent the work from getting done. So that's the start. And then it keeps going on from there. You know, you have to keep the discipline, and you have to keep refreshing your plans with your cybersecurity audit system, and make sure that everybody understands that this is the new corporate culture. That's the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks so much. Peter, how are you doing up there, by the way? How are you post-Trump?